You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it's a daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Wednesday, the 7th of December 2022. Later, June Bay Liu from Tribeca Investment Partners takes a look at her crystal ball, could be for Christmas, into 2023 to find out the trends and themes emerging. But first to the economy, and is Australia headed for a recession? Well, the economy slowed to almost growth of 6%, 5.9% annually in the September quarter, but it barely registers the 300 basis points worth of interest rate rises we've seen this year. For the quarter, growth lifted by about 0.6%. So where to now? And what will be the effects of these latest interest rate rises? For more, I spoke earlier with Stephen Wu. He's an economist at the Commonwealth Bank.
So today we got the release of the Q3 national account. So that covers economic activity for the September quarter. The first thing to note is that it is lagging in a publication sense. So it's data for the September quarter, but we're currently in December. But you know, that being said, it did show an economy that was traveling quite solidly. We did see the economy grow by 0.6% in the quarter. That is a step down from the 0.9% pace in the June quarter, but it still showed an economy that was operating at full capacity. So certainly the economy was quite strong over the September quarter, but what we're seeing right now in terms of the more partial and the monthly data is a slowing of that, as the RBA has obviously increased interest rates by a large sort of amount in a short period of time.
What's driving the economy right now?
So the key driver of economic growth in the September quarter was actually households and household spending. So consumers increased spending by 1.1% in the quarter. That's actually slightly slower again from the June quarter, where it increased by 2.1%. But nonetheless, we did see quite a strong increase in areas like spending on services, notably for travel, because households are obviously really keen to go traveling and enjoy, you know, the summer across Europe and the US. We also saw as well a big increase as well in discretionary spending. So households were really driving the economic outcomes, but we do expect that to change as the interest rate hikes by the RBA starts to more fully impact on these households.
Yeah, let's go into that in more detail, because as you mentioned, consumers, they haven't really felt these RBA rate rises yet. And this GDP number is from September backward, right?
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, the RBA since May have actually increased the cash rate by 300 basis points. Now, over September quarter, although they did increase the cash rate in that quarter by 150 basis points, there is that lag between when the RBA hikes and when it actually starts to flow through in terms of higher mortgage repayments. So effectively, what we're seeing in the data is actually that spending habits would have only sort of been reflecting the first 75 basis points of hikes by the RBA. So although, you know, the RBA hiked in May, the first sort of signs of an impact wouldn't have been felt until around August. We do see that slowing more materially as these rate hikes do bite. So firstly, so a point there to make as well is that this is only for variable rate borrowers. Fixed rate borrowers have had a bit of a reprieve so far, but we do expect that, you know, the large stock of fixed rate loans due to roll over over the next year, and particularly over the next 6 months as well, should mean a more material slowdown in spending over the next 6 to 12 months.
In your note, in the Commonwealth Bank's note today, I saw a couple of interesting stats. Household disposable income grew 1.6% in the quarter. That's thanks to a 3.2% rise in total wages and salaries. But total interest charged on mortgages surged by 36%. And as you mentioned, it'll take some more time for those other rate rises to hit consumers as well. Then there's those fixed term rates which are going to be rolling over. So no doubt that'll mean the landscape changes in 2023 in terms of growth. To what extent do you think?
Yeah, that's right. So we do expect a more material slowdown in spending over the next year, and that's going to help to, in our view, drive a lower, below trend around economic growth over 2023. So we see economic growth around 1.4% over the 2023 year, which is going to be below the trend that we saw prior to the pandemic. As you mentioned, it's because we do see the really large increases in interest rates beginning to more fully impact households. And as a result of that, they'll be slowing down the pace of spending growth to actually be able to sort of make ends meet in terms of those higher mortgage repayments. It's still early days, but we did see, for instance, the October retail trade number did fall. So we are seeing some early signs that spending is perhaps slowing down. And once those fixed rate mortgages do start to roll off over the next year, should be a more marked slowdown in spending growth.
Stephen, what about the R word, recession? Is there a real threat Australia will enter one? And what will we need to see for there to be a recession?
So we think Australia is a little bit different to many other economies right now. And we, our base case is for a soft landing in the economy. So we think the RBA is quite close to the end of their tightening cycle. And we think that as a result of that, the economy does have a sort of narrow path, as the governor has mentioned, to actually engineer that soft landing. A key risk to that is how wages growth does evolve over the next period ahead. So our expectation is that wages growth does still continue to pick up, but it does remain consistent with inflation returning back to target. If wages growth does turn out to be stronger than we expect, so if it turns out to be in the high fours, that sort of thing, then we do think the RBA will have to hike rates by more than we expect, and it will be more difficult to avoid that hard landing that looks to be the case in most other advanced economies.
Stephen Wu there, economist at the Commonwealth Bank. The Australian share market fell following the GDP numbers and by the close was off by 0.9%, 7,229. For more, I spoke earlier with Junbei Lu from Tribeca Investment Partners.
Look, absolutely. So the market down was following a little bit weaker lead from the US market, as well as a little bit directionless ahead of a long Christmas holiday. We just had our GDP data as well, somewhat weaker than expected. And also, I think, investors at the same time grasping of what does a slowdown in growth mean from the commentary from RBA yesterday.
The next big key marker for shares will be that US Fed decision next week. Just how important will it be?
Look, it'll be very important because at the moment, all eyes on the US, because US was the first market to start increasing interest rate and other reserve bank has been following suit. So if they start slowing down the pace, it certainly sends a nice signal that every other reserve bank will be slowing down the pace. In Australia, we're already seeing that slowdown. And in the US, we do hope it's a much smaller number than previously expected.
What is the market penciling in now or pricing in terms of the next rate rise here in Australia anyway and a potential peak in rates?
Look, for Australia is interesting. Australia right now, we have another 25 basis point penciled in, increasing early next year. Given what the Reserve Bank, RBA, has talked about yesterday, that they say nothing is really all penciled in because it depends on how the data is going. So that is a really, really good commentary for the market as well as our economy, and given everything is slowing down quite quickly.
Okay, so given interest rates are rising, shareholders have a major interest in the banks. What does it mean for the banks?
Look, it's for the meantime, it's great for the banks. High interest rate means lots of higher interest, a higher margin for the banks, and they will make more money. Now, the challenge is going forward, if the economy does slow down, does that mean the bad debt will start increasing? Because when the bad debt does start to increase, that is very negative for the outlook for the banks. So banks kind of at the moment in a sweet spot, but things are probably won't get any more better for them from here on.
Final question. This is likely to be the last time I speak to you this year. So can you look into your crystal ball? What do you see as the key themes for 2023 and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
2023, you are going to see a little bit of volatility. Net, it's going to be a positive year, perhaps the share market rallying towards the year end. But around that March quarter, we're going to have some price volatility. Share price might fall because corporates will downgrade their earnings because it was still very high cost and the consumer will slow down. In a slow demand environment, we will see pretty volatile share market performance. In the US, potentially we'll see a recession, and even in UK and Europe, we'll see some of the recession numbers. So, all that together, we think it's a good year. It'll be volatile. But what sectors do you want to be? You do want to invest in companies that earning doesn't get impacted by economic slowdown. Healthcare sector, they will do very well. They will grow double digit regardless whether there's an economic slowdown.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.